Well, those are some reflections this morning also, though there's a couple questions here. I'll take a look. If starting each meditation session with 5 minutes of skeleton contemplation, do you have any suggestions, advice, cautions? I think one of it ties in quite nicely with that I think the theme of disenchantment, because putting things in their proper context. It's not usually how we view ourselves or view others, or view the human experience that we're actually these. Kind of skeletons that are walking around, moving around, sitting, lying down. We don't usually bring that up. And I remember one of the talks of Ajahn Chah's where he said people come into the meditation hall at Wat Pa Pong and there's a skeleton in a glass case in the meditation hall and people being frightened and shocked by seeing a skeleton and Ajahn Chah sort of saying, don't they realize that they've brought their own skeleton to the monastery, and why are they shocked by seeing a skeleton in a cupboard? That's everybody's carried their own skeleton with them, but it's not really contemplated or reflected on. And you're thinking, oh, the skeleton is really scary or awful. And you think, well, what would we look like without it? And it'd be kind of lumps. But kind of lumps slithering along. So just getting that those different, realize, okay, yeah, this is really ordinary. It's not, but it's something we don't really contemplate very much. So it's a really good one to bring up that disenchantment and a sense of perspective. The second one is sort of on ill will. Sometimes ill will is diffuse and all-encompassing. Attempting to do metta when the mind is experiencing this seems to aggravate rather than soothe. I want to find a way to approach this for the wounded animal mind, which is resistant to being manipulated in any way. I think one of sort of sometimes the assumptions of metta of what comes to mind is that story that Bhante Gunaratana tells of the first time that he went to Europe on an invitation to teach this particular person was organizing the retreat that he was going to be leading and teaching, and then asking him what he's going to be teaching, and Bhante Gunaratana is pretty basic, foundational in his teachings, and covers good ground and everything. And so he gave a talk about mindfulness and sort of samatha vipassana. And then the woman kind of questioned him further and said, "Are you going to be teaching metta?" And Bhante goes, "Oh yes, of course I'll teach him metta." And she goes, "I hate metta." Is that? And sometimes I think it's what oftentimes gets our sort of resistance to metta or metta practice is the expectation that we should be sort of loving everything and sort of have this all encompassing loving kindness to everything and everybody. And yeah, and that would aggravate. when one sees it as an alternative, again, to recognizing the conditioned nature of the mind, and that whatever ill will we're experiencing is a part of a conditioned process, and to be able to tweak the conditions so that one isn't just taking ill will as the default option, so that they're bringing to mind those qualities of loving kindness, that's out of the range of human experience. We can make choices, and if ill will seems to be the default setting, then it's helpful to be introducing something else into the mix, so that the different ways of generating metta practice, and that's where it's important to experiment with all sorts of different kind of iterations or expressions or formulations to see what actually feels like it resonates, and particularly if one does it on a regular basis, and it's actually helpful to have a whole range of different expressions and whether they're short or long, because the mind inevitably gets inured to it. So that may be one of the ones that has been very helpful to me, just in the Metta Sutta, that phrase of wishing in gladness and in safety may all beings be at ease. It's that sincere kind of wish. Of safety, of ease, of comfort, of well-being, that in reality we all have, and in the Pali, Sukhi no wa ke mino hontu sambe sata bhavantu sukhitata. It's a very beautiful expression of that wishing of happiness and safety, stability, security. And of course there's many other ways of doing that. So that's a helpful way of framing it. Another way of approaching that ill will, I find, is just investigating the logic of the ill will, which is for me, it's always been quite helpful in terms of when I investigate the feeling of ill will and look and say, you know, where does it come from? And then, of course, the immediate sense of ill will is invariably because of this person or that situation or this, and it's always sort of, you know, kind of out there. But just to keep tracing it back and say, well, and where does that come from? And where does that come from? And where does that come from? And you know, inevitably it comes back to, you know, I didn't get what I wanted. It isn't the way that I think it should be. And it's all about me. And that's, you know, so petty, it's embarrassing. So it is, you know, just sort of to embarrass oneself out of ill will is a valid way of approaching it and sort of being willing to put it down, set it down. You know, the logic is always usually very strong, that of the kind of external placement of ill will, but then just keep investigating and using that, you know, the contemplation, dhamma vicaya, dhamma investigation, bears great fruit.